Sí.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks, Brother Reed. Sister Kristen. Okay, so this morning, we turn to Matthew chapter 28. Read from verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or end of the age. Let's pray. Our Father who is in heaven, we give you thanks, O God, for your goodness towards us, even today, that we have this access into thy presence in the name of thy Son, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for him, Father. Our prayer this morning is that the church here, we would be built up, and that Jesus Christ would be magnified and glorified in our lives and in this assembly. And we pray this all in his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this for a while, about discipling, and then actually this kind of was born out of Wednesday night. I think Brother Bill and I were talking about a lot of the things that are going on in this world. You know, we don't know, everything that's going on, of course, and we don't believe everything that they're telling you. What we do know is the Word of God is the truth, and these are times when people are shaken, their foundations are shaken, and that's good. And these are good times, and they're exciting times. The Lord Jesus is building his church. That's going on. We are to redeem the time. You know, the church is to wake up, arise from the dead, and redeem the time. The days are evil, but our time, all of us got so much time left. Whatever God has given us is time, and let's use that. Let's redeem it. Now, I was talking with Brother Bill, and so we were talking about a little bit of these things, and he said, we still have our marching orders. They haven't changed. And so I was looking at this, and this is what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, the resurrected Christ, before he ascended into heaven. In Mark's gospel, he said, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So the gospel, you know, these are bad times. A lot of people, these are bad times. The gospel is good news. It's really good news. So before we start talking about making disciples, if you're not saved, you can't be a disciple, and you can't disciple anybody. The gospel is good news. Christ died for your sins. If you're not saved today, the most important thing is that you get to Christ, that you get in Christ. We're either in our sins or we're in Christ. If we die in our sins, Jesus said, where I go, you cannot come. So we preach the gospel. It's good news. And in this day and age, I think a lot of people are getting saved. There'll be a lot today that will get saved. So if you're not today, Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He rose from the dead according to the scriptures. And he ascended into heaven, and he's waiting patiently. The reason he has not come back and set this world right is because of his long-suffering towards us. He's not willing that one would perish. So if you're here today and you don't know him, today's the day. Don't leave without trusting Christ. And then we can go on to making disciples. So what is a disciple? A disciple, if you have a disciple, you have to have a teacher. A teacher teaches a disciple. A disciple is really a learner. It's someone who learns. It's a pupil. He learns by hearing, by use, by practice. Anyone who follows one's teaching is a disciple. In the Gospels, our Lord Jesus Christ is the teacher. And he's called master or rabbi or teacher, and he was teaching his disciples. We have in the Bible, we read about disciples of John. We read about disciples of the Pharisees, some claiming to be disciples of Moses. Even in Acts 20, when Paul is talking to the elders, he was saying how there was going to be some coming in that would destroy the flock. And he said, even of you, you're going to draw men away to follow, to draw away disciples after yourself. You know, so there's people that want to be the teachers, the disciple people, drawing them after themselves. But ultimately, what we're speaking of with disciples is being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting is that you won't even see the word disciple in the epistles. It's in Mark. I mean, it's in the Gospels, and it's in the book of Acts. It talks about disciples. And then in the epistles, there's nothing mentioned about disciples. So we don't have disciples anymore. But what it is I think... In Acts 11 and 26, there's a church at Antioch, and it tells us that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And so the disciples were called Christians. You know, today it doesn't use it in the epistles that we'd be a disciple of Christ, but we're Christians. We're Christians. And it means the same thing, really. A Christian is one who follows Christ. A Christian is a Christ-like one that should be like Christ. Luke in 6 and 4, the Lord Jesus talked about a disciple is not above his master or his teacher, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master or teacher. So the goal of making disciples, the teacher, the disciple, the student, would want to learn from the teacher and be like the teacher. They say that back in the day when the rabbis would be teaching, and this is where this comes from, in the Jewish economy, there would be a rabbi and he would have all these students. I still think they have this sort of thing. And the rabbi would teach, and I mean, for years, the students would follow him. They'd even walk like he walked. They would even talk like he talked. If he was talking with his hands, they would talk with their hands. They mimicked their teacher. And so that's what a disciple is. He's learning from the teacher to be like the teacher. Now, the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit, and he said there's going to be a comforter just like me who's going to teach you. And the Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us things. He brings to remembrance the things we knew. He leads us in all truth. He teaches us things to come. According to the Word of God, he teaches us. But God also has risen, has lifted up men in the assemblies. The risen head has given gifts to men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, shepherd, teachers, for the building up of the church. Ephesians 4:12 tells us for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so our Lord Jesus, he commands us to go make disciples. He commanded his disciples, right? So this is the pattern, right? A person gets saved, and then they're to be discipled. And the first thing we see is baptizing. That would be something that you would be taught. You would be discipled on that. And then he goes on to say that teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so there's a responsibility to make disciples. To make a disciple, you had to have been discipled. It just doesn't automatically come. There's work involved. I want to look at the Lord Jesus first as our example, and then the Apostle Paul. In Acts 1 and 1, we read Luke writing to Theophilus, and he speaks of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Okay? And this is the key. It's not just words. It's deeds. It's actions. You're teaching them that. And that's what it is, the imitating. It's not just head knowledge. There's a life to be lived. There's a teaching and doing. And everything that in the scriptures, everything that we're commanded to do, our Lord Jesus, he's our great high priest, right? He has gone through it, okay? So if he tells us to do something, he's done it so that he can come and help us. And so that's what our great high priest does. He can sympathize with us. He knows what it's like. Okay, and so he can come and he can help us. So all that he began to do and teach. So I want to look at verses I want to look at is in Isaiah chapter 50. So he's as an example to us, he lived the life that we couldn't live. So as he is our teacher, and he shows us, and this is Messiah, this is our Lord Jesus speaking here. In Isaiah 50, verse 4. Okay? And this is Messiah speaking. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. That's disciple. He's given me the tongue of the disciple, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned or the disciple. It goes on to say, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheek to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from the shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. So this, to me, is speaking of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. But just that verse 4, that he learned. His ears were opened morning by morning, and he heard as the disciple. Obviously, he doesn't need to be discipled. We don't separate his deity from his manhood, but we know in Luke 2:52, as a young boy, it says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Young people here, he knows what it's like. He's been there, and he can help you. And he did all this. He didn't need to, but he did it all so that now he can help us live that life. And so we see that the one disciple is now the teacher. John 17, we'll look there. So these men who the Lord just commissioned to go and make disciples, they had spent about 3.5 years with the Lord. He poured out his life into these men, preparing them. There was a time of preparation. They were the ones learning, okay? They were disciples. Now he's going to send them out to make disciples. And it takes time. The Lord poured into these men's lives. You know how frustrating it must have been? I mean, not for the Lord, of course, but, you know, as he's teaching them, they were like us, you know? But yet he loved them till the end, and he poured his life into these men. In John 17:17, he says, this is his prayer. He's praying for these men. All throughout this, he's praying for these ones whom the Father gave him. And he prays for them. In 17:17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. See, he set himself apart. He sanctified himself. He lived the life now to help us do it. And it's according to the word of God, to the truth. We can be sanctified, and you can see he sends them now. Now they're ready. He's prepared them for this commission, and he sends them. A good example, now, like I said, 3.5 years he spent with them. A good example is in Mark chapter 3, just a good example in the Gospels. And, you know, you think about somebody like Moses. Moses, a great man of God, was used by God. He spent 40 years in the wilderness, preparing for that mission that he had. John the Baptist, another, he was on the scene for only a short period of time, but God was preparing him for what he had for him. And this is Mark chapter 3, verse 14. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, you know, turn to this, it's the same scene. He talks about his disciples. He called 12, and you see they named them apostles, and he sent them out. An apostle is one who sent. That's what it means. So here we have in Mark 3 and 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. And we'll see that for the next about 3 chapters, they're with him and he's teaching them. He's showing them a lot of things. He's going to show them about rejection. He's going to show them, that man was possessed with demons. You know, he's going to bring them in and teach them things so that they'll be equipped to go out. And we read about them going out in chapter 6, verse 7. So he called them to be with him, and he's going to send them out. And now he's sending them out. In verse 7 of chapter 6, he called unto them, the 12, and he began to send them forth two by two, giving them power over unclean spirits, and he gives them commandments. But you can see, he just didn't send them out. It was time spent with him, learning and preparing him, and he sends them out as he was discipling them, teaching them. And so that's the Lord Jesus, just our ultimate example of that teacher. And, but the Apostle Paul, I love the Apostle Paul, he's given to us here. So much of his life is given to us for our learning. Because, you know, he was like us, okay? He was a sinner, saved by grace. But Paul himself, in Acts 22:3, it talks about him being brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. This was as a Jewish young man. He would study under Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a great teacher in the Jewish, in history, we mentioned his name. He was a great teacher, a great rabbi, a great expounder of the law. And to be taught by him was something really, was a wonderful thing. Paul was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of his fathers, and he was zealous towards God. Unfortunately, Paul knew all about the law, and he knew it, but he missed the one who was talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he actually thought he was working for God and doing, he was a very self-righteous man, and he thought he was doing God's work while he was persecuting Christians, persecuting Christ. And when he met Christ, never was a man thought he was so right and realized he was so wrong. And it just humbled Paul. He fell down. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. What would you have me to do? And he lived his life serving his Savior. But he knew the Old Testament. But then it says in Galatians 1:12, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul went after he was saved. He went to Arabia, I think for 3 years. I think that's where he was taught by the Lord Jesus. He was sent out. Much was revealed to Paul, but the Lord Jesus prepared him for what he had for him. It was by revelation he would learn. We read that Jesus, the risen Christ, spoke to Paul in revelation. And Paul was appointed a preacher, apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul thought it would be, I'll go to the Jewish people, right? And God says, no. Acts 22:21, he said, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. As I mentioned about the Lord Jesus Christ, all he did and taught. Paul was not one that just taught. When we read like Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, and perfect, acceptable will of God. Paul preached that, but he did it. He didn't just say it. When I was a kid, lots of times you'd hear the do as I say, not as I do. That's not the Christian doctrine. It's a do what I say, but I'm the example doing it. Do as I say, not as I do. I use that, Guy sitting there drinking some whiskey and smoking a cigarette, telling his kids not to smoke or drink. What about you, Dad? Do as I say, not as I do. That's not the Christian life. That is not the Christian life. It's a doer. And we'll look at Paul's relationship a little bit with Timothy, because that was a great picture for us of one discipling one and then turning it over to him, the ministry. But it wasn't just to Timothy. In Corinthians 1, verse 11 and 1, Paul would say, be followers of me as I also am of Christ, an imitator. That's where we get mimic from. And so Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ, that example. In Philippians 4 and 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, and praise, think on these things, and these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. You know, he lived what he was teaching them. And the God of peace shall be with you. In Ephesians 5:1, he tells the Ephesians to be imitators of God as dear children, to be followers, to imitate God, walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, and offering his sacrifice unto God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, we're told to imitate God, to imitate Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, he said, and you became followers, imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. And so as Paul would go to places, preach the gospel, see the work of God, elders set up, he would go back and minister to these people if he could. He would teach them all these things. You know, in Acts 20, when he was talking to the Ephesian elders, you know, he said, I've shunned not to tell you the whole counsels of God, you know, night and day, with tears, pouring himself into these people. His whole desire was that men and women would be saved, but not just saved, okay? To come to the full knowledge of the truth. And he had with that idea of, you know, one day they're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. He wanted them to live that life that would please God. That was his desire. So he'd pour himself into these people to disciple them, to prepare them. To carry on this great good news that we have. There's interesting, 2 Thessalonians 3:9. Now, there was people there, they were waiting for the Lord to return, right? And they expected him to return any time, and they weren't even working anymore. They were just like kind of just hanging out, waiting for the Lord, you know? And Paul's going to tell them, no, don't do that. You know, you got to get to work, you know? You don't just sit around being a busybody. But Paul himself, you know, could have been there preaching the gospel. And people, many people, we do that here, right? We send money to support the gospel. But Paul said, and he had every right not to work, supplied by the Lord's people as he poured out his life to them, preached the gospel. But he said, but he did work. He said, not because we don't have power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. So he was going to teach them that they had to work, so he worked. While he's preaching the gospel, he worked night and day. He labored himself, so he wouldn't take anything from that. So he'd be a good example. It was just what an example. He lived what he was teaching. Hebrews 13:7, speaking about the oversight, I believe the elders, and remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followed. Imitate, considering the end of their conversation, their manner of life. You know, we all are examples. We all are witnesses. Are we good witnesses or bad witnesses? Are we good examples or bad examples? We take the name of Christ, people are watching us, how we live our lives. Let's see, 1 Thessalonians, we'll read a few scriptures now. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy. Just to give that idea of Paul and his care for the people. You know, preaching the gospel is great, right? You preach the gospel. Hopefully souls get saved. But, you know, that's not the end of it. And I tell you, the real hard work is discipling. The real hard work is coming along beside people and pouring out your life to them. That's hard. Because that's a continuous thing. Here's Paul. This is his attitude toward these people. You know, I mean, we looked at them all, the Ephesian church, the Corinthian church, the Philippian church, Thessalonica church. You know, he loved these people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, and he says, we were gentle among you, even as the King James says nurse, but a nursing mother cherishes or tenderly cares for her child. You know, this was his attitude towards them. He cherished them. Even as a mother longing for her children, we were willing or pleased to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but our own souls or our own lives also, because you were dear to us, because you were beloved. He didn't just preach the gospel, he poured out his life for these people. He gave his life for them. He laid down his life for them. And not just, not a, you know, I mean, they talk about dying, right? You know, like a martyr death, right? You know, one glorious, you know, martyr for Christ, but a daily dying to self to serve Christ. You know, that's what the life of Paul lived. And for Christ's sake, for these people who were his. And then just look at his relationship with Timothy, maybe 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. You know, just that as we look at some of with Paul and Timothy. Timothy was a young man saved in one of Paul's missionary journeys, and then probably, I guess, a teenager maybe, got saved and then went with Paul, and he traveled with Paul preaching the gospel. He witnessed Paul, how he lived, and he learned from Paul. And we'll see that Timothy we'll see about Timothy, what the Bible says about Timothy. But here, just to get an idea this is Paul in prison. He's going to die. He knows he's going to die. He's going to be martyred for Christ. The last letter that we have of him writing it to Timothy, with the desire to see Timothy again, hoping that Timothy could get to him, that he'd have some time with Timothy. He had left Timothy in Ephesus. He says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He longed to have that fellowship with Timothy again. And he entrusted much with Timothy. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, just, you know, he's talking to Timothy, he's reminding Timothy of these things. And he says in 2 Timothy 3, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. You know, Timothy was with Paul. He witnessed this. You have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity or love, my steadfastness, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers, they'll wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And he's saying to Timothy, you know, but continue thou. But Timothy, endure. Endure all these things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. There's reality. You've seen the reality of this, Timothy. Knowing of whom you have learned them, and from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Man of God. Timothy's the only man in the New Testament that's called a man of God. Others are in the Old Testament, but Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he's called a man of God. He was the only one, Paul said in Philippians, he's the only one that's like-minded, like me. He's the only one that thinks like me and cares, naturally, genuinely cares for you. Because all others, they think of themselves. They think of themselves, not the things that are Christ Jesus. And so Timothy was like Paul. You know, he had been discipled for years under Paul, and he was like him. And God, you know, God's entrusted us with these things. And just speaking of the Word of God, the Gospel, we've been entrusted with that. We're to pass this on. 1 Timothy chapter 6, only a couple pages over, we can turn there. Again, Paul writing to Timothy, he tells Timothy in verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which was committed to thy trust. In other words, responsibility, what was given to Timothy, is to keep it. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so-called. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Paul again to Timothy, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. There was a charge. Timothy had a charge. He had it. There was things committed to him, and they are to us also. And then our verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It's a very important verse for us to do this. Paul says to Timothy, now therefore, my son. Now, this is his last letter. This is, you know, these are final instructions kind of from Paul. My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy was faithful. He was a faithful man that was able to teach others, and he was committed to him. And he is then to teach others, you know, these things. Look for those faithful men that are gonna be able to teach others. And that's the making disciples. That was passed down to Timothy, who passed it down to others, and passed it down, and it came all the way to me, to you. You know, the people were faithful. Trusted with the gospel, trusted with the word of God, and they were faithful to share it with us. And to train us up, to teach us. And now we're to continue this. We're to pass it on. We are so blessed in this assembly. I really am so blessed. And not a lot of little ones are here today, but some are downstairs. But, you know, to see, it's how does this play out? Well, one, we got to keep praying for the young families with children. They have this opportunity to pour their lives, pour this great treasure we have into these little ones, and we see the fruit of it. You know, it's wonderful. Young men sharing at the Lord's Supper and prayer meetings, and we need to pass this on and pray for them and pray for these kids and the young adults here. We're so blessed with many of you young. You're all young, you know, to me pretty much. You're young men and young women. And it's wonderful to see serving the Lord here. You know, the assembly is a place of service. And we need to pass these things on, all the little things. Brother Bill reads, every Sunday since I've been here, that he's here, he comes up after the Lord's Supper, and he's cleaning up the cup and the bread, and he goes downstairs and clean them, you know. That's something for one of us, some of the younger guys, to come along and learn these things. And I remember... little Jory, son asleep. God bless you, son. He'd do the books, and we had the books back there, you know, and he'd pick up the books and bring, you know, these things. This is where we learn to serve, to do these things, and then be entrusted with bigger things. But the families, as you're teaching your kids at home and you're teaching them these things, God's desire is whole families come into fellowship in the assembly. You know, too often you see a mom and dad in the assembly fellowship, and the kids come along, and unfortunately, many of them leave. Not all of them, many of them leave. Don't give up, keep praying. But God's desire is, all these little ones we've been entrusted with, to pour our lives into them, to disciple them, to bring them in the assembly, to take part in these things. Some of the kids, we just did luncheons. I hope, we did luncheons again, right? And the kids would go and serve, and they'd be cleaning the tables and bring the silverware and washing dishes. And, the VBS, Sophia, come and help, And that's all good. Working at camps, so thankful for many of the young people that we have here that go work and serve at the camp. These are all things that you got to bring them into these things. They just can't sit there and just watch. We need to entrust them. And trust them with these things, and some of them are going to fail. They're learning. And just pour these things into them and teach them. And of course, ultimately, mostly the Word of God. But we got to be doers. We're in the house of God, the church of the living God. This is the ground and pillar of the truth right here. And if they don't see the living God here amongst us, it's kind of boring here if Christ isn't magnified. Lovely people, but I'd rather go where the bands are playing and stuff, But the living God here, that's why in these things like we do the Altamont Fair, right? And I'm so thankful Bree and Ashley and Olivia have come and helped. They come along door to door, going to do some door to door work. And I remember Kenny used to come with me all the time. And Bree has done it. I remember Bree and Dez coming. That's where you're going to learn to share your faith and watch you work in these things. Like I said, the VBS, the camps, great places to serve. It's great places. I love campers. Thank God Jeff and Carrie are here. It's a marvelous place to go and watch these young people serve the Lord there. And pray for Jeff and Carrie, because they're pouring out their lives into these kids. And, it's wonderful to see. It takes time. And, uh, And they break your heart, lots of times. They break your heart. But don't give up. Don't give up. Because there's many of them. What you've poured into them is not going to, it's not going to, they're not going to forget it. And many times. I've had phone calls from ones that I haven't seen in years. And they have phone calls. It's what an encouragement. And, you know, so don't give up. Don't give up. The Lord's doing a great work. But you know, you got to be willing, okay? And young people, you got to be willing. There's people here that will pour out their hearts to you and pour out their lives into you. Do you want to? You know, you got to be willing. We can't force anybody. And like I said, discipling is hard. You know, just thinking like how many, you know, look at Demas, right? Paul must have poured out his heart into this man and then he left. It's not uncommon. It happens, but there's many times when they come back. So in closing on this, I just want to look at a few characteristics maybe or proofs of a disciple. John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse, maybe we'll pick up verse, I want to get to 31, but verse 29, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. In Matthew, that last verse in Matthew, and he said, lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. I heard a story, I forget who said it. It was a young man who had gotten saved. He was from a Chinese background. His name was Lo. And he's in the audience, and that verse is read. And Lo, I am with you always till the end of the year. Boy, he was like, what? You know, speaking right to me? Well, yeah, and all of us, you know, he's with us. So we're not alone in this. So here the Lord's speaking, and he said, the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue, if you abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. To abide in his word, to have his word in you, you'll speak like him, you know, and then you'll be my disciples. So it's so important that you spend time in the word of God and fill yourself with the word of God. You can't speak the words of Christ unless you know the words of Christ. You can't speak like him and be like him. John 13:35. We'll look at verse 34. John 13:34. Jesus speaking. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, this is a new commandment. Now, he had told them that, you know, the commandments we have to love, you know, but this was a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? He loved us unto death. He gave his life for us. And that's the type of love that we're to have one to another. And if we have that love, people are going to know. They're going to know. You know, there's something different about them. They're going to know we're his disciples. You know, they might not know the wording, but that's a love that the world doesn't understand. And we're to have that love one to another, willing to lay down our lives for our brethren. You know, there's that song, I shall know we are Christians by our love, that's what he's saying here. And it's a different love. It's a self-sacrificial love. It's Christ's love. And if we have that love, we'll be his disciples. It's a characteristic, it's a proof that we're his disciples. 15:8, John 15:8. And this is, the marvelous passage, you know, the Lord is the vine, we're the branches, and it's abiding in him, abiding in his word, he abiding in us. But he says in verse 8 of chapter 15, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That we bear much fruit. You know, what's the fruit he's looking at? You know, sowing seed. The fruit that he's looking for is that we, as the disciple, become like the teacher. The Christian like Christ. The fruit is Christ. It's Him. The only thing that pleases the Father is Christ. It's His Son. And that's all His pleasure. And as we bear that fruit of Christ, everything else will flow. Everything else will flow. Everything we're required to do, if we're like Christ, if that fruit is Christ, it says our Father will be glorified. So shall you be my disciples. It's a proof of the discipleship. It's a proof of, you know, when Peter and I think John, you know, and they're speaking and they knew. They're like, they've been with Jesus. You know, who are these people? They've been with Jesus. They knew. You know, they were like Him. I guess we'll close on in Luke's gospel, I'm not going to go expound on this very much. Obviously, we don't have time, but I think it's in this portion, starting at verse 26, we have things that would say, "You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple." Luke 14. Luke 14. And we'll look at verse 26. And I want to bring something out here because we read in verse 26 and 27 and verse 33 that you cannot be my disciple. And I think we missed something in verse 33, but just look at this. It's kind of like a progression in a sense. He says in verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sister, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple." Those sound like pretty harsh words, you know. You have to hate your mother and father, you know. And then you know, people bring it out. Well, it's in comparison, you know. Matthew brings it out, I think, and on the positive side, right? Matthew 10, I'll read it, 10:37 and 39. "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it." So he's not telling you to hate your parents. And he talks about your own life, okay? If you love anything more than the Lord Jesus Christ, anything else is a priority over Him. You can't be the disciple, because a disciple is like Him. And you see this own life, this self-life, living for self. And it might include, you know, loving things, loving people more. The Lord Jesus didn't love. Didn't He? In John chapter 10, it talks about Him, our good shepherd, laying down His life. That's His own personal life for the sheep, to give us eternal life. And it's you know, Philippians, right? You know, although He was Almighty God, I didn't consider robbery to hold on to that. He didn't think of self. Self had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He didn't think of himself. His care was always for the others. And then we're told to do that. You know, that's what we're told to do. And so this isn't about hating. In fact, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him rule in your life, you're going to love your parents more. You're going to love your brothers, your sisters more. You're going to love the lost more. So it's not about hating. It's about, it's like John said, "I must decrease, He must increase." You want to be like Christ? To be a disciple, you have to be like Christ. You have to stop thinking of self. How do you do that? You know, and it goes on to the cross. You know, "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." What does that mean? Again, dying to self. Dying to self. You know, you know, Christ, the resurrected life, we must die to self and be raised in newness of life. That life that's joined with Jesus Christ. And so if we hold on to our life, we can't be His disciples. You're a Christian, you're saved, you're going to heaven. And thankfully, it's a daily thing. You know, He doesn't tell us, you know, for the rest of your life, do this right now. Just one day at a time. You know, die to self. Live for Christ. Paul said, you know, constrains me. The love of God constrains me. That one died for all, that all have died. And never again should we live for self. You know, if we know Him and appreciate Him and realizing, keep going back and realizing what He's done for us. You know, where does self come in? You know, it just robs us of our joy. It robs us of the fellowship we can have with Him. And then he goes on. He talks about building. He talks about, I'm going to close. I'm not going to go into this too much, but you know, you want to build something for God, count the cost. In Psalms it says, I forget where it is, I think 127, except the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain. So what I'm getting at here is I think we're kind of missing what he's saying here. You want to build for God, you got nothing. You got to realize that. If we try to do stuff in our own strength, and I think that's what this is getting at. I could be wrong, but I think this is what it's getting at. We can't build. We have to have him do it through us. And then just like the battle, right? One king's going to war against another, and you look at that, I can't beat them. I'm going to surrender. Let's make some peace. We can't battle in our strength. We can't build anything. It's that if we can get ourselves out of the way and let Christ work through us, and that secret, it's his yoke. We just join in with him and go along. He has the victory. He will build it. He allows us to partake in it. He'll use us. And so that's why I think it's saying here in verse 33, so likewise it says, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. And I don't believe what a lot of teachers teach is that you have to forsake everything that you have. You live in a big house, move into a small house, an apartment, you got two cars, get rid of your cars, hitchhike, take a bus. There are some that do that. C.T. Studd, Anthony Norris Grove, they sold everything and went. But then, see, that's an exclusive group. And I don't think it's exclusive. I think it's inclusive. It's all of us can be disciples. Just he realizes you can't do anything in yourself. It's all him. And the things he's blessed us with, use it for his glory. I think there was a man who was a millionaire. I think he's one of the men that helped the Good News on the Move team. I think he sponsored a lot of it. He was a godly man. He was very rich. But he used it for God's glory. It's not telling us we can't have these things, but they're his and use them. And so it's an all-inclusive group. But it's that idea of dying to self, not about me, taking up my cross, and realizing, what a place to be in. Sometimes Bill and I will talk. He's going to speak. I got nothing. I go, you're in perfect position. You got nothing. That's great because you're going to count on Christ. You're going to count on the Lord, and that's what he wants us to do. Realize that he's blessed us with. Each of us have gifts, to be developed, to be used for the building up of the church. He's given us, resources to use, but we don't count on that. We count on him, and him working through us. And just in closing, is just to encourage us. I look around and so many young people, and some aren't here today, but I can see them. They're worth it. They're worth it. Spend your time with them. Pour your lives into them. Young people, be willing. And, we got time. We're to redeem the time. We've all got time. How are we going to spend our time? These things of God are the quality things. They're the things that that last forever. And wouldn't it be something, you're laboring and stuff, and maybe you don't even know some people, I always think of Saul and Lot. I always think of Lot and Abraham. And, the last we see of Lot, we don't even know, right? You think of Abraham probably poured up a lot into that guy. And it's like, I don't even know what happened to this guy, And then he saw him in the glory, that's going to be so worth it when we see these ones who we labored with in the glory someday. That's amazing that God would allow us. He doesn't need us. He'll allow us. So we'll pray. Our Father, we are so thankful, O God, for your word, which tells us the truth. We thank you for what you've entrusted us with. You've entrusted us with the word of God. You've entrusted us with the gospel. We thank you for, just even how you gather us together in a local assembly. And this is where we live out, in our homes, in our workplace, in the neighborhoods, but in the assembly, we live out this faith. And we are your children, and we're your body here, Lord. We just pray that Jesus Christ would magnify, that he would have the preeminence, that he would have first place in this place. And we're just so thankful for all you've brought here. And we pray Jesus Christ will be magnified. We pray this in his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.